Chatterhouse 2016 is the perfect, the penultimate, if you will, neighborhood pub and grill. They've got excellent food, the decorating, the atmosphere is a place that makes you want to come back again and again, which is why I've been there so many times. A big part of that is the close-knit team that makes it all happen, and they want you to be a part of that crew as one of their new full or part-time cooks. It's a great offer because it comes with Saturdays off. That's a big deal, and I promise you, if you come by and visit, whether you want to apply to be a cook or you're just looking for a good place to hang out and enjoy a drink, some good food, and some good cheer, Chatterhouse 2016 is the place to be. 614 George Street, De Pere, Wisconsin. 614 George Street, De Pere, Wisconsin. And if you want to be the next top chef at Chatterhouse 2016, stop in any day after 3 p.m., talk to Kevin or Jill, or go to facebook.com/Chatterhouse2016. While you're there, make sure to like and follow the page, and you can apply on the post about hiring a chef. Monday morning and welcome, Joe Giganti, your regular Joe here with you on this Monday, kicking off officially the Christmas season. Hope that you are enjoying the sense of the season as trying to get into the mood. I know it's hard with all the things going on, but you know, for those that participate in the preparation for Christmas Advent, you know, there's four candles on the wreath, on the Advent wreath that people have. The first one celebrates hope. And I was saying to my kids last night as we lit our first candle, reminding them that hope, the source of all hope, is God. And as long as God is alive, which he is, and is quite real, then there's always hope. There's always the ability to find joy, maybe not always happiness, but joy, but certainly can find the happiness. And taking time, take stock of the blessings we all have around us. And there's a lot of them. And I say that as a reminder to myself as much as anybody, because there are a lot of difficult things that we're facing right now in our country and, for that matter, in our world. But that's why we have to stay centered on that source of hope. That's why this Advent season is such a great, great time of preparation and anticipation for that joy that was given to us 2,000 years ago with the Word made flesh, the birth of Christ. So, and yes, I will talk about it, and I don't care if you look, if it offends you, well, then maybe it's not the show for you. That's all I can say. Welcome to one and all, Joe Giganti, your regular Joe. You can be a part of the conversation. 888-737-1737. Talking about the push that started over the weekend, the long holiday weekend, the five-day weekend, for gun control. And there's been two, kind of, well, I don't know. I'd say there's at least three big things that came out of the news dump, the long weekend. You left on Wednesday. We parted ways. We went out and did our thing for the weekend, thinking that, you know, according to even Joe Biden, depending on the day, the time, and the location, and the topic, that the COVID pandemic is over. Well, now, Dr. Fauci making a resurgence in his waning days as a unelected bureaucrat in the federal government, pulling down the largest salary in the federal government. And he's introduced the tridemic. That's right. We don't have one pandemic. Not even it. We have three things coming together to create a tridemic. We'll get into that into the next hour. Amazingly, two out of the three have been around for a long time. And despite his claims, the stats on them are pretty well known. But if you think it's just, you know, a broken record trying to scare people into submission, keep people away from their relatives, their loved ones, and holidays, well, then you, too, might actually be a thinker. We'll get into that. Then Klaus Schwab made quite an intro. That is the founder and the executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, better known as the Great Reset people. Those that were happy to bring you, let's change the world. He sees the future of what the world should look like. I'd be interested to see if you agree that it's a good look. Would it look good here in the United States? I'll share that with you as well. And then, I mean, on a smaller note, Adam Schiff for Brain. Smaller because, I mean, we're talking about a small brain. He's out there saying, well, you know, testimony, subpoenas, I have to see how valid they are. Because if it's not being issued by a complete banana republic-esque committee like the J6 committee apparently doesn't carry the same weight with them. But the gun control issue, one of the latest catalysts to this big push was the terrible shooting that took place in a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia, where the manager, shift manager, some kind of mid-management guy, who left behind a note claiming that his actions were because he had been marginalized, but also because he was giving in to the demonic. I don't make light of that, although generally speaking, when people write that it's demonic oppression or possession that's causing it, that's actually usually kind of a sign that it's not, just from the pattern of how that works. But whatever it might be, obviously there's some kind of a snap, a disconnect. Now, this shooter doesn't fit the normal profile that they want shooters to meet. So not a lot is actually being said about the shooter for that very reason. But of course, the left is jumping on it as yet another way, another argument that we should be limiting, if not outright taking away, everybody's guns. And look, when I say that, that's not hyperbolic. I'm going to play some of the sound that was used this weekend on the Sunday shows, the Talking Head shows, and you can hear it for yourself. It's not, you know, they're being pretty straightforward about it. They're not really hiding a lot of it. Now, in the case of this particular shooter, he used a handgun. There's no AR-15, no assault-like weapon, although his 9mm may have been, you know, black. I mean, that's one of the things they say about the AR-15s, that a .22 caliber rifle that's painted black is scarier than one that has wood tones. Because, I mean, look, they've done it where they'll put the exact, basically, essentially the same weapon next to each other, shoots the same bullet, but the one that is more metallic and black, ooh, it looks like a war weapon. It's scarier. They can do the same. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So with this latest push, you have all the left going out. I just played a moment ago, Jay Johnson, who said, look, the problem here is the proliferation of guns. Now, just to be clear, they weren't talking about the guns that were let loose on society under Obama's administration, you know, with Too Fast, Too Furious. No, they're not those. No, no. They mean those people, law-abiding citizens who own weapons, who have never used them in a commission of a crime. Some have used them to defend the innocent, including themselves when they've come under fire. But apparently, those people that are committing these, it's not that you go after the people. It's not that you solve the question of why certain people do these things, why they view these things as the answer. And by all indications, the shooter is not a member of the right-wing militia either, also not working well for their normal narrative. Representative Jim Clyburn even weighed in on this on Face the Nation as well. Margaret Brennan has become just a really terrible shill for all things left-wing. Now, he weighed in on the gun situation. And now, remember, Jim Clyburn is in large part responsible for Joe Biden being in the White House, as goes Democrat support for him. Not getting into the 2020 election and the steals and the cheating and everything else. But in terms of Joe Biden's acceptance within the Republican Party, or excuse me, the Democratic Party as a candidate, Jim Clyburn's the one that saved his arse quite publicly. So, I mean, he has a lot of cachet within the party. Certainly he gets away with what he wants to, and he can make ridiculous things, you know, saying that, you know, if you don't have gun laws, it's kind of like slavery.
Because it's illegal does not make it the right thing. I tell people all the time, the institution of slavery was legal, but it was not right. Just because they purchased these weapons legally does not mean that's what the law ought to be. We need to change these laws. Unfortunately, I'm going to be here in my district on Wednesday speaking at the funeral service of one of those young football players from the University of Virginia who died at the hands of a weapon that was, from all indication, legally purchased. That's not the problem. Chesapeake Virginia. Mm-hmm. That gun was purchased legally the morning of the event. We have to visit these laws and do what's necessary to keep these guns out of the hands of people who should not have them.
Except, now again, we could go through the number of existing gun laws, including in some states where we had recent shootings. The shooter, the one who last year tried to blow up his mother, threatened to blow up his mother. Apparently that, I have sound on that, why he wasn't really on the radar. It wasn't a failure of the very laws that they tell us would save the day, because in fact those laws won't. No, it was again the right wing's fault. But they weren't done. Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat from Colorado, he weighs in. He doesn't even understand. According to him, that good news story I started the hour, more people wanting to own guns, more people owning handguns and actively carrying them as their own form of self-defense. Apparently, that's all bunk. Because Chris Murphy says this is what people really want. Cut three.
The laws that we're talking about passing, red flag laws, assault weapons bans, they're wildly popular. I mean, they're not actually that controversial outside of Washington. And I hope that this year or next year, we'll finally be able to do something.
You know what's interesting about that to me, by the way? He says they're wildly popular outside of Washington. No, no. They're wildly popular inside of Washington, D.C. You get outside of Washington, D.C., you go out to the real world. I mean, it's hunting season in many states right now. See how popular red flag gun laws are in those states. See how popular any of this would be in those states. I mean, we got kids out there hunting, by the way. Nailing bucks. And by the way, is it Connecticut? Murphy? Oh, sorry. Connecticut. I misread my own notes. COCT, forgive me. Senator Chris Murphy, Connecticut. Appreciate the gun. But I mean, it's an absurdity to claim that people want this. Now, you may also be familiar that there's been a number of sheriffs in different states that said, look, if you pass onerous gun ownership laws, we're not going to enforce them because the Constitution gives people a right to keep and bear arms. And we're not going to violate the Constitution over an emotional over-response to what's been going on. Cut number five, Senator Murphy, he's got an interesting take on that. I just want you to remember, it wasn't long ago. You know, like a few weeks ago, when Democrats told you there was no defund the police movement. No. No such thing. Those are lies of the mean, evil Republican right-wingers. There's no defund movement. There's nothing of the sort. You may also recall other greatest hits from the left, like, you know, if you try to defund something, then you are basically an insurrectionist. I mean, there's all these claims. It's interesting how quickly this has shifted now that the election is, for the most part, over. I think we have gotten the counts on all things yet. I think we're still waiting for some in Arizona. I think we haven't quite got the last one. Cut five, though. Here's what he's got.
Now, what we've, I think, learned in Colorado is that the county in which this shooting happened is a so-called Second Amendment sanctuary state. And I think the country's going to have to learn about what's going on in this country. The majority of counties in this country have declared that they are not going to enforce state and federal gun laws. They have decided that they are going to essentially refuse to implement laws that are on the books. That is a growing problem in this country. And I think we're going to have a conversation about that in the United States Senate. Do we want to continue to supply funding to law enforcement in counties that refuse to implement state and federal gun laws?
So wait, now I want to make sure I understand. He asked, do we want to fund police departments in state? So if you were going to withhold funding, what would be another word if you didn't want to be so verbose as to say, should we withhold funding from these states? If you wanted to say that in a more concise manner, how might one say that? Perhaps they might say, should we defund the police? And by the way, what I find out beyond the fact that they are creating a constitutional crisis where they want to literally tie funding to a clearly stated precedent. What happened is precedent. The precedent of the Supreme Court is very clear on keeping bare arms and consistently has been so under far more left-wing Supreme Courts than what we have right now. And Chris Murphy said, hey, you know what? Let's just hold. So wait, they can use the power of the purse strings. But didn't Kevin McCarthy, the presumed next speaker, didn't he just propose that last week? And the Democrats said, this is terrible. This is terrible. You can't threaten people's money based on your political whims. But of course, it's a different story when it's Democrats. Well, at least that's what they think. That doesn't mean it's the reality. It doesn't mean we have to let it be the reality. I tell you what, Chris Murphy, when you put a bill forward to defund all of your security and disarm them, let's talk.
The Regular Joe Show.